Confronted with a dilemma. When NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, cross addicts, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that one drug is separate from the rest. Narcotics Anonymous makes no distinction between drugs. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive, allowing us to concentrate on our similarities, not our differences. To the press, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. If any members of the press are present, please come to the registration table where you'll be referred to our public information chairperson. We respectfully ask that no pictures be taken during the Unity Retreat by the press. If any NA members are approached by the press, please refer them to the registration table. Remember, no one person represents NA. Please do not attempt to represent NA to the press alone. Thank you. Please observe no smoking in all buildings. Hello, everyone. I'm an addict named Ashley again. Welcome to the workshop entitled Carrying the Message. Will you please help me open with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Could we please have the reading of We Do Recover?
Hi, I'm Holly, and I'm an addict.
Hi,
Holly.
When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as human beings, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be an alternative. Either we go on as the best we can to the bitter end, jails, institutions, or death, or we find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicts today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts that is available to us all. This is a simple, non-religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you, Holly. I'd like to introduce the first speaker, Sherry B. from Just Do It group of Narcotics Anonymous in the East End.
I'm Sherry, I'm an addict.
Hey, Sherry.
Hey, everybody. First, I'd like to thank the Unity Retreat for the journey continues, for asking me to speak. It's always an honor to speak. Not saying that I want to do it, but it's an honor. You know, I get up like at 3:30 in the morning because I start work at 6. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I get a message in Facebook, and it's Courtney. And she says, I hope I didn't wake you up, but I had a cancellation. Would you be able to speak? I'd be honored to. And she said, I said, and no, you didn't wake me up. I've been up since 3:30. You know, and so when she told me my topic, I was kind of like, okay, I know what it's about, but let me just go reiterate what it means. You know what I mean? And so I went to hear one of the girls I sponsor speak. And I was walking up. I have COPD, so I can't walk hills. So I was walking up to my car, and I stopped, and I looked. And, like, it was just so beautiful. There was, like, just a plain of grass and then the sky and with the blue with the white clouds. And I was like, wow. Isn't this just, like, an awesome feeling, like, to be here? And if I was using, I wouldn't be here. You know what I mean? I probably wouldn't be alive. But carrying the message, what does that mean to me? That means to me that I need to act responsible. I need to carry the message inside these rooms and outside these rooms. I need to represent NA. To me, you know, we come in these rooms. I came in these rooms. I had to change. Everything I was taught in these rooms. You know, our literature states that this is we have a message of hope to give. So what does that mean in hope? Well, if I don't walk what I talk, and my actions are totally different than what I'm saying, then there's something wrong. You know what I mean? I need to speak and have the actions. You know, and like when I first got clean, I was 90 pounds. I probably wore like makeup galore. I cussed out the wazoo, you know, and I thought it was acceptable. You know what I mean? And today, there's a plethora of adjectives instead of dropping that F-bomb. You know what I mean? And I get everybody's where they're at, but to me, that's not carrying the message. To me, getting up here and sharing what my experience was about and what I do today is that message. You know, and I was doing, like, some homework while I was, once I got the phone call, you know. And, you know, where do we carry the message the best? At our home groups. You know, and I've been in service work. I guess I didn't tell you when I got clean, huh? I've been clean since March 24th, 1987. So I have 30 years. And I got clean in the southwest area of Narcotics Anonymous in McKeesport. And I got active in the very beginning. And I got active in, back then, which I think is even still now there was a B. But you couldn't hold money until you had a year clean. So I got on the activities committee. But we called it fundraising back then, or vice versa. I can't remember because I'm old too. But so I got active in that. And by doing that, I was sharing the message, you know. And when I sponsor people and I work the steps, you know, we carry that message, you know. And it's an awesome feeling to be able to come somewhere, learn about life, and do it. You know, this fellowship's awesome. I'm not saying that it's always been pretty. You know, I just got out of a relationship that was almost 8 years. 8 years. It was the healthiest breakup I've ever been in. I mean, I haven't talked to him for 6 months, you know, and that's okay. And I didn't go, like, get all crazy. So, you know, from my other breakups to now, there's a difference. So to me, that's growth. So to me, that's carrying the message. Do you know what I mean? Like somebody watch, because I'm an observer. I sit and I observe and I watch people. And I see what you're doing and I see what you're saying. You know, and if the two match up, then there's probably a chance maybe we could hit it off. You know, but like I've also come to find the older I get, the more comfortable I am with being at home by myself. And it's not that I'm isolating, because I talk to all the girls I sponsor. I just like to be home. I like to listen to my books and I like to watch TV. You know, and I could tell you what, there was a time when I couldn't sit still. I needed to be out. I needed to be going. I had two kids and I didn't want to deal with them. You know, I woke up from an addiction and I had two kids. I'm like, oi, you know, my daughter's here. I don't even know if I ever told her this, but I even like wanted to give him up for adoption. You know what I mean? Because I woke up from this addiction. I was 25 years old when I got clean. I was like a pretty much a single parent, you know, because their dads, they're still not in the picture. But, you know, my daughter's doing awesome today, you know. And I always say that, like, my God prepared me for her addiction, you know, because like I have never knock on wood, been in a rehab or a detox yet. You know, I got clean through NA and through outpatient therapy. And I've been in and out of outpatient therapy my whole 30 years. You know, and for me, that's what worked. You know, and I wanted extremely bad to go to a rehab. And I was told, you just want a quick fix. And it's exactly what I wanted. Because I didn't know how to make decisions. You know, I wanted you to make my decisions for me. You know, and now I can make my own decisions. You know, and I'm very active in my home group now. You know, I'm the secretary of my home group. And I've been I've been on the board. I've been Start to Live. I've been at East Coast Convention twice. Start to Live, the spiritual retreat. I've never been on this retreat because I live by Kennywood. But I've always been in service work. I was in the Southwest area. I revamped the whole policy and administration. I typed them before there was computers. I typed them all out. But that's how I stay clean, because I think what it was I was so afraid of people. You know, when I first got clean, that I didn't really want you in my square. So if I serve, I got to meet people, but I really didn't have to interact like 100%. You know what I mean? Like, I could say hi and just, like, they moved on. You know, but I got to know a lot of people that way. And you know, coming here, working the steps and working the traditions and, you know, like some of the things that are like controversy today weren't controversy back then. And, you know, our fellowship has changed so much and it's grown so much. And it's a wonderful feeling. And now, you know, we're in different countries and we're carrying the message to different countries. Like, that's awesome. Who would have thunk, you know, that we could do that, that we could get our simple program that I like to complicate to other addicts in different countries. Countries that you would never think. You know, and it's just breathtaking. It's just like awesome. You know, it's gotten me in life. You know, I would have never been able to hold down a job. You know, I have 3 more years and like 8 more months and I'm going to retire. You know, and like, who would have thought that? Who would have thought that I could hold down a job for 26 years? The same job. I never completed anything in my life. You know, so that commitment, that's what being in service work taught me, was commitment. You know, and I was taught not to say no. You know, and I mean, not that we aren't allowed to say no, but I was taught not to say no. And, so I don't, you know, unless, of course, I'm like on vacation or like doing something that this program has given me back, you know. So how do I carry that message? I guess it's just so simple. You know, you just show up. You don't pick up that first one. And you walk the talk. You know, and you carry the message. And you learn how to deal with the outside people, because I had my home group just recently, and then I'm going to shut up. But we were at this one location, and the church was sold, and this playhouse took over. And the people there, like, really didn't want the 3 meetings there that were there. And they started giving us a hard time. And, like, they didn't, like, they were starting to, like, tell us that we couldn't stand on the sidewalk because people were cussing and, you know, and you know, okay, maybe I don't cuss, but, you know, when you come into the program, you're new, you're in rehab, you do what you do. You know, and I tried to explain this to this woman, and she just wasn't having it, you know. So the three groups there decided to, like, find a new place. So I called the pastor at the Mary S. Brown Church. And I said, "Hi, this is Sherry B." And I said my last name. And he said, "Oh, the bees that live on Laura Avenue." I'm like, "Oh, yeah." You know, like, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this pastor lived down the street from my mom. I grew up with him. You know, so I was representing NA by calling him, and he knew me. So if I would have called him up cussing, MFing, and do you think he would have given us the meeting place? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, so he knew me, and that's what they do. They give back to the community, just like we do. We give back to the community. We save lives. We come in here, we don't pick up our first one, and we save a life. You know, and I have to represent NA or anywhere I go by their rules. Do you know what I mean? Because everybody has rules. You know, I mean, if I work for a union shop, okay, so it's kind of hard to get fired in a union shop. But, I mean, if I'm going to cuss at a customer and hang up on them, you know I'm going to get fired, right? You know, so, like, or if I do a customer mistreat, I'm going to get fired. So when I come in here, I have to learn to respect my surroundings. You know, and for me, that's registering, because I'm paying for the utilization of this space. You know, and even though, like, even if I would just come up, and this is just me, I'm sharing my experience, if I'd come up just for the day because I had to speak, I would still register. Because that's what I was taught. You know, and I was taught nothing's free in life. You know, and it's not. You know, the only thing that's really free is hope. Hope is free. Love is free. And I'm all for them. I'm like an old hippie, you know, peace, love. Wow, it's not dope anymore, but, you know, I'm that old hippie, you know. Peace, love, N.A., how's that? There we go. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry. Next, we have Steve C. And could you tell us where we're from? Because I don't have it on the paper.
Say Uncle Scott. Okay.
Hi, I'm Steven. I'm an addict.
Hi, Steve.
Very grateful to be here. Very nervous. Wrote up with my sponsor. He helped me out a little bit. Then about a half hour ago, he threw me for a loop. Because when they asked me to speak, they asked me to speak on a step that I haven't worked yet. So I had to tell them I can't do that. Uh-huh. Right? So then they give me this one. I'm like, shit, that's easy. I'll just talk about H and I. Right? And then I'm like, oh, I can talk about literature too. Because it's the most effective means, it says in the basic text. Right? So I'm thinking that. And then my sponsor has me read Tradition 5. I'm like, oh, shit. Now we're talking about the group. So I'm all spun out. I got a lot going on in my mind. When we started, there was like five of us here. I don't know where the hell you people snuck in. But I'm going to do my best. You know, I don't know. This is the first time I've been up. My clean date's June 2nd, 2014. I got like 3 years, 2 months. This was the first retreat I ever went to. I came up here with my sponsor, and he was carrying the message to me at the time. I had 90 days clean. I didn't have too much hope. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. Still wanted to kill myself almost probably every other day. Things like that. But he like took the time and carried the message to me on the car ride up here 3 years ago. And, well, he carried some kind of message. We listened to Rage Against the Machine the whole fucking way up there, right? And I do swear. Sorry, Bam. I wish you had a headphone. It just comes out of me. So we drive like an hour and a half to get up here, and then I, when I get out, I'm wanting to punch somebody in the face. Right? So I don't know, man. But that was just the amount of chaos I needed. was talking about that. Like, there was a little bit of a message there. And, you know, I remember a time in my recovery where I said, you know what, Dan? I said, I got to quit swearing so much because it looks really bad to the newcomer. And I believe that. I believe it does. And he said to me, don't get too well, the newcomer can't relate. I'm like, my man. So he gave me a license to swear, so I am going to probably swear a little bit. I'll try not to. I'll try to respect the bands here. But I don't know. So I'm thinking about carrying the message, and you know, I'm trying to get all... it was really humbling getting asked to speak, you know, because it made me take a look at, like, where my recovery's at and what I'm doing to carry the message and this and that. And I don't know. I did a lot of, like, meditating on the people that carried the message to me. And, you know, at the time I was completely beaten down, broken. You know, I thought I had some of the answers, and I just think of, like, how much like patience and love that those people showed me when I first got clean, and helped, like, guide me and make some decisions and whatnot. And I don't know, but it made me think about my home group too. It made me think about, like, how well am I carrying the message? Because it says in tradition 5, now that I know, that the group is the most powerful means to carry the message. Most powerful. It says that the thing literature doesn't have is language, is what it says. And it says that the group has passion and love and empathy, and that's stuff you can't get from reading the book. Now, don't get it twisted. The only reason I decided to show up to Narcotics Anonymous is because I got some bootleg-ass copy of the basic text in a treatment center, and I read Who's an Addict, and there was a message there for me. And the message was, you belong, right? You belong here. This is who you are. This is who we are, and it's okay. You know, you're sick. You don't suffer from a moral deficiency, things like that. So there was a message carried to me by that literature, but back to what I was talking about, like, the group. You know, how is my home group doing? Like, we recently got a treatment center that moved in a couple miles from both my home groups in Scottsdale, and we get a lot of guys that are straight out of the shooting gallery, man. They're live. They're shaking and baking, detoxing. And I thought to myself, took an inventory on, like, how is my home group doing with that? You know what I mean? How am I doing with that? Do I sit in the corner, hitting my vape, while this guy's over here wanting to kill himself? Or do I tell him, like, hey, brother, I know how you feel. I've been there. And there's hope. You know what I mean? And I think we do an okay job. You know? I mean, everybody gets a hug when they come in. Brother Phil can attest to this. He's always making the long drive down to my home groups. You know, I think we carry a good message. We speak out of the literature. You know, so it's hard to go too far south with that. We don't do no topics. We don't do no topics. But we just read. We read. So yeah, I mean, if I'm taking inventory on my home group, I think we're doing an okay job. You know, and I don't know, man. Everybody, like, the topic's carrying the message, because everybody carries a message. You know what I mean? Everybody carries it. The newcomer carries a message. The guy that's coming to the meetings high is carrying a message. And that's a message that I need to see. But I need to make sure that as a predecessor, I'm carrying the message. That you could stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. That's what I got to do. And it's very conflicting to try and do that if I'm chasing down newcomers, right? Or if I'm not working steps, which currently I'm a little paused on that, right? Let's get on it. Huh? And, you know, that's a difficult thing to carry. Like Sherry was talking about, like, you know, how individuals perceive us from the outside in. Because, like, when I was in a treatment center and they're trying to tell me about how to pick a sponsor and stuff, I'm like, okay, I got this. I got this list of characteristics. He had to have this, this, that, and the other thing, right? So when I get out, I'm finding this guy that's, like, a multimillionaire, got, like, a really sexy brunette as a wife, 2.5 kids, white picket fence, all that shit, right? But when I got out of that treatment center, what talked to me was the honest message of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's when I met my sponsor, man. He lived in the same town I lived in. I'd been around meetings for 2 weeks, but I wasn't at the right meetings, I guess. I didn't see him. I saw him all the way in Uniontown speaking. And what I saw was a guy that, like,
had a lot of compassion, a lot of drive, a lot of love for like the still sick and suffering addict, and that spoke to me because the message speaks to me, man. You know, lies, deceit, all that stuff, like that's not good for me. So, you know, heard the message from him, you know, and decided that he was the guy for me. You know, I don't know, I think I'm a pretty, like, abstract thinker, so there's a lot going through my mind, but, you know, back to that, like, the message I carry out into society, right? Like, it's probably not a good idea for me to be standing outside Walmart, flicking my cigarettes on the ground, swearing, with an NA shirt on. That's probably not good. I don't know if that's off topic or not, but it's just like, you know, that's probably not good. Like, what message am I putting out? Right? Am I getting on a social networking site, and am I getting caught up in some absolute chaos about who should get Narcan and who shouldn't? You know, I don't mean to bring up outside issues, but these are relevant things, right? These are relevant things to my own personal recovery and relevant things to, like, the atmosphere of, you know, what's going on out there. Like, I probably shouldn't be doing that. The message should be, like, hey, you know, there's some hope. You know what I mean? So I don't know. But, like, you know, I'm pretty involved in H&I. There's an H&I workshop here directly after this train wreck. And you should be there. I need a couple spots filled for Twin Lakes Center, so please stay if you're from the area. But, you know, going in there and putting a message out. Like, that, carrying a message is such a responsibility. That's why I'm so nervous up here. It's such a responsibility, especially if there's newcomers here. Like, you predecessors, whatever. It's whatever to you guys. But if there's newcomers here, you know, it's a responsibility to carry a message and to talk about it and to adequately explain that, like, you can stop using it. So, like, when it comes to H&I, it's no different. Like, when I do H&I, like, I'm very thorough with these guys, man. When I'm bringing new people into a treatment center or if they're taking a week or something, like, we stay very on topic, on point with what our message is. Right? We're not getting lost in psych meds. We're not getting lost in drug replacement therapy. None of that stuff. All we're talking about is our experience, strength and hope, and how we found relief from the disease of addiction. And that can get tough, man. Carrying the message can get tough. It can be straining. You know, I know for me, you know, it seems like sponsees come in droves. They come in droves. They go out in droves. And it fucking hurts. It hurts a lot, especially right now. I got a sponsee in treatment, and he's calling me every night, and I'm questioning whether I have the answers for him, and it's tough, man. It gets tough for me. I don't know about you guys. It gets tough for me. Sometimes I can lose hope in myself and whatnot when trying to help, like, the still sick and suffering addict. But, I go back to what it says in Tradition 5. It says, like, we're just planting seeds. The seeds of recovery. And I think of a story that my sponsor told me about, you know, sowing seeds and stuff like that. We don't have to go down that road here, but I'm just throwing seeds, man. That's all I'm doing. That's all. If I'm walking the walk and talking the talk and throwing seeds and letting people know they're in the right place, that's all I can do. I can't keep people clean. I can just, like, give an honest message of recovery and live this thing out so people can witness what the hell goes on here. You know what I mean? It's real. It's funny when, like, a new guy comes up and says, like, oh, I want, you know, I'm so jealous of this, that, and the other thing of what you got and this and that. And I think, like, brother, if you were here 3 years and 2 months ago, you'd have ran from me. You know? But that's, like, kind of the message, man, right? That I could find a new way to live. So, you know, I gotta be visible to people. It's hard to carry a message if I ain't showing up to meetings. You know what I mean? It's hard to carry a message if I ain't fulfilling my H&I commitment. Those are tough things. And what I see what happens when people no longer carry this message and give away what was so freely given to them, they use. Plain and simple. That's what I see, man. I don't know. Anybody here with years clean, you tell me if you do H&I. I bet you do. You know? That's what I see. So I'm trying to stay, like, in the flow of love here. And so I'll keep going to H&I and showing up to my home group. Like, early, and getting stuff done, man. I don't know. Carrying a message can be rough. But I got to keep doing it, and I can't pick and choose around here, you know. I can't, I gotta like live this thing out and make it available to anybody that you know wants to find some freedom from active addiction. And you know, I gotta watch the message I'm carrying. I gotta respect it. It's a responsibility. You know, and I gotta live it out and stay honest. And I don't know. I don't ever wanna be sitting in a meeting and look at a group of people and say, those people are so fucked up. You know? I don't ever wanna forget where I came from, because I'll use again. If I start looking at people and I start saying like, those people are sick. Maybe I'll go to this fellowship. Or maybe I'll stop doing this. Or when things become more important, like I have no bones about the fact that like I'll use again. I definitely need to stay grounded and anchored in the fact that like, you know, I can use again. And that I rely on these people, that these newcomers that come in and they're on Facebook in a meeting or they're having the loudest fucking side conversation you ever heard in your life. You know what I mean? I can lose compassion for those people. And I can think in my head, man, I wish you would just leave. You know, or people that come in and cause chaos and stuff, I wish you would do this and do that. And I'll say it, because I don't know if anyone else thought it. I've thought about people, man, I wish you'd use. I've thought that. That's a terrible thing to say, but that's honest. It's happened to me. And a lot of times it's because I think so highly, and the program in Narcotics Anonymous and the meetings and everything is so important to me, that when I see somebody coming in and doing what I perceive as like tearing it down, bringing the wrecking ball to it, I get really pissed off. But those people are just like me, man. That's so, back to what I was saying was, I don't ever want to look at those people and say those people, right? Because that's me. You know, if I believe I'm an addict and I'm practicing anonymity, that's me. So yeah, man, I hope I adequately carried the message. I don't know what time it is. I'm probably a little shallow on time. Huh?
12:31.
Oh yeah, I'm a lot shallow on time. But you know, I don't know. I hope I carried a message. Hopefully the message. Yeah, man, if you're new, keep coming. You know, get involved, and like, it's available for all of us. Thank you.
All right.